one of the many memorable and faith-filled experiences I will cherish, probably as a priest, when I led a group of parishioners and some others on a pilgrimage to the great shrines of Rome a little over 2 weeks ago, is the opportunity to celebrate Mass on Pentecost Sunday in the very church, which is the church of St. Francis in Lanciano, where the relics of the first Eucharistic miracle are currently on display. What is the story and the truth of this miracle of the Eucharist in Lanciano? A story and a truth so well known that it outrightly defies doubts about the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist. According to church documents, in the 700s, in the town of Lanciano, which is located southeast of Rome, some monks of the Order of St. Basil, Basilian monks, had established a monastery under the patronage of St. Longinus, who is traditionally believed to be the centurion of the crucifixion, and who proclaimed truly Jesus was the Son of God and pierced the side of our Lord with his lance. So one day, a certain monk was offering the holy sacrifice of the Mass. And this monk was versed in the sciences of the world and had been plagued by doubts about the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist. And he agonized over whether the bread and wine actually changed into the body and blood of our Lord at the words of consecration, and whether our Lord was truly present in the Holy Eucharist. So this time when the monk pronounced the words of consecration, the host was miraculously changed into flesh and the wine into blood. The monk was awestruck. So weeping joyously, he regained his composure and he called the congregation around the altar and said, "O fortunate witnesses, to whom the blessed God, to confound my unbelief, has wished to reveal himself visible to our eyes. Come, brethren, and marvel at our God, so close to us. Behold the flesh and blood of our most beloved Christ." And those who witnessed the miracle soon spread the news throughout the surrounding area. Shortly after the occurrence, the blood coagulated into 5 globes of different sizes, but the flesh remained the same. So the Archbishop then ordered an investigation. The testimony of witnesses was recorded. The flesh and blood appeared to be human flesh and blood. The Archbishop set a scale for the weighing of the globes. Each individual globe weighed the same as the other individual ones, although different in size. Whereas all 5 together was any other combination. Eventually, the flesh and the globes of blood were placed in the reliquary, which is an instrument to place relics, but were not sealed. And church authorities certified the miracle. Since the first basic investigation, the Church has permitted other studies on the relics. So in 1574, a certain Monsignor Rodriguez once again weighed the 5 globes of blood in the presence of witnesses and arrived at the same conclusion. 8 centuries had passed, and no visible sign of deterioration had taken place. But the most thorough study occurred 54 years ago, way back in 1970 and 71. Pope Paul VI permitted a series of scientific studies on the precious metals to verify their nature. Dr. Orlando Linoli, a professor of anatomy and pathological histology, chemistry and chemical microscopy, and head physician of the Hospital of Arezzo, conducted the study. He was assisted by Dr. Ruggero Bertelli, professor emeritus of human anatomy at the University of Siena. The analysis were performed in accord with scientific standards and documented, and Dr. Bertelli independently corroborated Dr. Linoli's findings. In 1981, using more advanced medical technology, Dr. Linoli conducted the second histological study. And he not only confirmed the findings, but also gathered new information about the relics. The major findings from this research include the following. The flesh is real flesh. The blood is real blood. The flesh and blood belong to a human species. The flesh consists of the muscular tissue of the heart. In the flesh, we see present in section the myocardium, which is the heart wall, the endocardium, the membrane of tissue lining the cavities of the heart, the vagaries, and also the left ventricle of the heart. The flesh is a heart, complete with its essential structure. The flesh and the blood have the same blood type, AB, the same blood type found in the polar shroud of Turin. In the blood, there were found proteins in the same normal proportions. In the blood, there were also found these minerals, chlorides, phosphorus, magnesium, potassium, sodium, and calcium. The preservation of the flesh and of the blood, which were left in their natural state for 12 centuries, and exposed to the action of atmospheric and biological agents, remains an extraordinary phenomenon. Professor Linoli asserted that the blood, if taken from a cadaver, would have deteriorated rapidly. Given that these samples were centuries old, free of preservatives, and never hermetically sealed in the reliquaries, they should have deteriorated. However, he understood that the samples had the same properties as fresh human blood and flesh. As a priest celebrating in the same church with the miracle of the first miracle of the Eucharist, this currently on display is beyond my imagination. Celebrating in a chapel underneath where that relic is displayed is something that I will cherish for the rest of my life. You know, the beauty of the miracle of Lanciano reflects the words of our Lord spoke. I am the bread of life. He who feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has life eternal, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood real drink. The man who feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in him. My friends, this is just one of the many Eucharistic miracles the Catholic Church approved over the centuries. But more than the wonders that these miracles bring to our attention is the fact that Jesus is really and truly present in the Eucharist. So during those times when we doubt the presence of Jesus in the Eucharist, during the times when we question ourselves, why do I have to go to church? Why do I have to receive the Eucharist? Let us just think about these miracles where Jesus constantly reveal himself to us again and again and again. We must never forget that when we participate at Mass, we witness a miracle, and through the reception of Holy Communion, we share in the divine life of our Savior. So in this great solemnity of the most holy body and precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, let us cast off any doubts and affirm and deepen instead our faith in the Eucharist, where Jesus is truly and really present before us.